702. Mandy Wiener, weekdays 12 to 1.
So every Thursday, we speak to the author of a local non-fiction book on the show. And because yesterday was a holiday, we're doing that today. And this book starts with a story about a box of documents. Historian Jan Alad Stemmet opened this box at the Archive for Contemporary Affairs at the University of the Free State, and he immediately knew what they were. He had been promised these documents 13 years earlier by former Justice and Prisons Minister Kobie Coetzee. But then Coetzee had abruptly died 2 days later, and the box contained a vast set of files about Nelson Mandela's last 8 years in prison. In this book, Prisoner 913, Stemmet and veteran journalist and editor Rian de Villiers bring some of those compelling secrets of this box and these documents to light. Rian de Villiers joining me now, who of course is the co-author of this book. Rian, thank you for your time today. These documents, they tell the story of Mandela's 8 years in prison, the last 8 years, particularly negotiations with the NP government, but in a really novel way. How do these documents recast that story?
Hi, Mandy. It's nice to speak to you. This is a very unusual and a fascinating source of information. As you briefly indicated, this was the file. This material was essentially the files of Mandela that Coetzee kept in his ministry. But what made them unusual was A, the fact that they were so extensive, and B, as it turned out, he'd initiated a sort of a surveillance system in the prison service whereby they were surreptitiously taping many of Mandela's conversations with his visitors. So what this gives one is, a lot of what we know about that era is hearsay, and also about what some role players have wrote about it afterwards, notably in Long Walk to Freedom and F.W. de Klerk's autobiography, The Last Trick. But what is extraordinary about this archive is when you read those documents, when you read the verbatim transcripts of the interviews, you really are in touch with reality 50 years ago. It is quite spooky, and nobody can argue about what the documents say.
For me, it's fascinating. And what I really found interesting in your book was how you detail the deal that F.W. de Klerk made to Mandela. Tell us briefly about that.
Well, it is extraordinary. And personally, that is the part of the archive that fascinates me most. We do need, you're quite correct, there was a huge transition from the time of P.W. Botha to the time of F.W. de Klerk. Now, in Long Walk to Freedom, for instance, Mandela jumps, he sort of gives an account of that time, but he jumps straight, but let me first say this, that he and de Klerk met on 13 December. And he then jumped straight from that, his account of that meeting, to de Klerk's famous speech in Parliament on 2 February in the next year. But, a huge amount happened in between. We now know that from the archives. Essentially, de Klerk made some proposals to Mandela and asked him to convey them to Lusaka. So one assumes that this would have been an attempt to start meeting the preconditions of the Harare Declaration. And Mandela, in fact, did so via none other than our current president, Cyril Ramaphosa. And we know that because of a transcript of a meeting. That one was handwritten, which we found only later on, because the arc is quite chaotic, that took place between Ramaphosa and Mandela late in December. These proposals were then conveyed to Lusaka, and to this day, we don't know really what they were. There was a document, we know that, and then there was some additional verbal information as well. But in one of his conversations, one of the transcripts, Mandela speaks about a simultaneous declaration. This might have been his own idea, but what that points to is that he was trying to forge an early deal between Pretoria and the ANC in exile.
It's really fascinating. And I don't want to give too much away because I do want people to read the book. So we have seen this narrative emerging of late of Madiba as a sellout, that he gave away too much for freedom. How do you think this book will play into that narrative?
Well, I think this is a fascinating issue, and it actually took me a while to clarify my own thinking about it. I mean, the simple fact is that in Long Walk to Freedom, Mandela says quite explicitly that he decided to strike out on his own, essentially that the armed struggle was a washout, and that he decided to talk to the government in order to forge a deal between Pretoria and the SARCA. He says that very openly. Now, by definition, if at that point you were a person in the ANC who still believed in the armed struggle and the violent overthrow of the white minority regime, then by definition he was a sellout, you know? So I think that is quite clear. Now, as we do know historically, there was enormous disquiet within the ANC about him. You know, there were rumors that he was talking to the government and so on, and people didn't know what he was saying to them. And, you know, for that reason, and, you know, they, in my view, they kept him at arm's length eventually when he started talking to Lusaka. However, you know, I think there's no point today in saying this proves he was a sellout. You know, really not. You know, what this, you know, I don't think his values were ever in doubt. It's just a question of how he believed, you know, that one should set about achieving those ideals. Mm. And so, yeah, so really, you know, in the end, I think one should bear that in mind. And also, it does, though, show that he was a bit out of touch, you know, and that maybe, you know, I think one can argue that he was a bit, you know, sometimes embarrassingly close or friendly with figures in the National Party government. I mean, I think that is undeniable. But one has to remember, he went into prison when Verwoerd was prime minister. You know, he'd been in jail, you know, under deep lockdown for a decade. And he missed the 76 youth uprising, the 80s uprising, mm-hmm. You know, modernization, urbanization, all these things. You know, he struggled to keep his ideals alive. Amidst all these hugely conflicting pressures. So, you know, it's what, you know, that he also told people later on in his life that he was human, you know, he was fallible and human.
Indeed. Ruan de Villiers, I'm sorry, we have to leave it there. Ruan de Villiers is a veteran South African journalist, and he's the co-author of this book, Prisoner 913. It looks at the Kobbi Kutsia archives and really gives us a new insight into those last 8 years of Nelson Mandela's time in prison and the negotiations with the NP government as well. So a really worthwhile read 30 years later to get insight into that period, which has been so crucial to our country's history.